Well, my name is Chris Norman. I'm on the team here at Grace, and I have a couple of trivia questions here at the beginning, and it's okay just to go ahead and shout out your answers if you know the answer, or if you think you might want to just give it a try. Okay, so here's the first question. Does anyone know how many nations there are in the world? How many countries on the earth? Go ahead and shout it out. How many countries are there? 693. What? 202. We're getting very specific. I'll give the hot and cold, okay? Ready? Hot and cold? No. Hey, let me just tell you what it is. 195 countries in the world. How many are we're within like 20 at least? 20, all right. One off, okay. That's still off, okay? That's just me clear. It's 195 countries. But one off is not bad. I'm going to say that. It's not bad. Okay, how many spoken languages in the world? How many spoken languages in the world? Come on, give me, you can be one or two off. Go ahead, give me some answers. Okay, 6,500. Someone was at the first service. All right, let's just be honest. 6,500. 6,500 spoken languages, 195 nations. Isn't it amazing how much diversity there is in our world? I mean, it's incredible. I mean, God is the creator of a very diverse world. Let me ask you, what's the top spoken language in the world? What's the top spoken language? Let me give them to you. Mandarin Chinese, 1.1 billion speakers. Number two, English, which is 983 million. Number three, Hindustani, which is 544 million. Spanish at number four at 527 million, and Arabic at number five, at 422 million, the five most spoken languages in the world. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I've had the personal opportunity of visiting 20 countries around the globe of the 195. Many of those nations that I've had a chance to visit happened when I was going overseas during college and studying overseas. And I've had many opportunities to meet a lot of very interesting people within their own countries and settings and cultures. And while there's so much diversity in our world, so many differences, there are also many commonalities that wherever you go, on whatever continent, in whatever nation, you find the same thing. A lot of diversity, but a lot of commonality. One of those commonalities is that every single person in the whole world has inherent beauty. Every single person. And the reason why every single person has inherent beauty is because every single person on the face of the earth has been made in the image of God. Everybody has been made in the image of God. And everybody's hardwired to want to express and experience all the beauty that God intended from the beginning. Everybody longs for it. And yet, wherever we go or whoever we meet, we know that there's brokenness. Everybody experiences brokenness. Maybe it's internal, maybe it's external around culture. There's just brokenness everywhere. Whether it's sadness of heart, natural disasters, abuse, dysfunction, division, every nation, every continent, every tribe has inherent beauty but existing brokenness and pain. And wherever you go, people long for peace. Peace. Everybody in the room here this morning desires peace. And everyone you know, without exception, has a longing in their heart for peace. It's part of what it means to be made in the image of God. It's part of God's intention from the beginning that everyone would experience peace. But when the fall occurred and we turned away from God, we lost that peace. And everybody is longing for peace. Last Sunday, we started our focus on what's called Advent. Advent meaning coming or arrival. And we're waiting for Jesus to come, a time of preparation for the whole world. And this is our focus as we begin this series today, as it leads up to Christmas Eve and ultimately to Christmas. Peace is something we all long for. It's what the world's longing for. It's an absence of conflict, hostility, trouble. It's a state of being at rest, content, in harmony. There's political peace, personal peace, family peace. There is emotional peace, spiritual peace, physical peace, financial peace, relational peace. Peace comes in many different ways and in many different settings and in many different expressions. But one thing is for sure, everybody is longing for peace in the whole world. And so we want to come back to one of the readings from Advent that was read earlier in our service. It's from the Gospel of Luke. It's called Zechariah's Song. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to just turn over to Luke chapter 1. Let me give you some context of what was occurring in this setting in Luke chapter 1. So just as you're turning in your Bibles, or as you're clicking in on your Bibles, going to Luke chapter 1, the people of Israel knew that God had made promises over the years that he would send them a deliverer, a rescuer, someone who would bring all the promises that they knew that God had made to them, for them personally, for their families, and for their nation. A deliverer, one who would restore relationship between them and God, and ultimately between them and the rest of the world. Someone who would bring peace. And so they waited and they waited and they waited. And then there was this devout Jew named Zechariah who one day was working at the temple. And as he was working inside the temple, an angel appeared to Zechariah. And the angel said to Zechariah, "Your wife Elizabeth, who was barren at the time, is going to have a son, and this son is going to have a special role in announcing and preparing for the deliverer, for the rescuer, for the Messiah." Now, Zechariah was indeed a devout Jewish man, but he had never experienced something like this, and so he had some questions and maybe a little bit of doubt, like, would this really happen? And he kind of expressed that to the angel. And the angel responded by saying, "Okay, well, from this point forward, you are not going to be able to speak. You're going to be mute until the day the child is born. This will be a sign to you." And then on the child was born 9 months later, where he is not able to speak. This child is born. On the eighth day, they circumcise him, and they name the child. And everyone thought that he would be named after his dad, that he would be named Zechariah. But Zechariah knew, as did Elizabeth, that the instruction would be his name would be John. And so someone gives Zechariah an iPad, a tablet. And Zechariah types his name is John. And after he typed that out on the iPad, at that moment, his tongue was loosed and he began to speak and praise God, and the Holy Spirit fills him. And then he gives this prophetic utterance that we commonly call Zechariah's song. In fact, let's read the account in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 57. It says this: when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, There's no one among your relatives who has that name. Why would you call him John?" Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe and thought, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And here's what he said: "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago." These were the promises that we've been waiting for: salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham thousands of years earlier, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of what? What?
Peace.
Peace. Notice the rich heritage. We understand, we've been waiting, we know the promises that God has given to us. We haven't seen them fulfilled yet, but we are waiting and waiting and waiting. Everybody in the room here is waiting for the fulfillment of many promises. The prophecy says that the rising sun will fall on those living in darkness. Guess who's living in darkness? The whole world. In our own brokenness and pain and dysfunction, everybody's turned away from God and is living in some area of darkness. And the sun is shining on our darkness. And guiding us and guiding our feet into the path of peace, which is what we are all longing for, peace. And where does this peace come from? It comes from the tender mercy of God. The tender, gentle mercy of God. Do we have any idea how gentle and tender God's mercy is? when we understand his holiness is just beyond anything we could ever attain. But he comes down with tender, gentle mercy. The thing about mercy is that mercy is based on grace. About 6 weeks ago, my 17-year-old daughter and I were up on this stage and spoke together about the difficulty of our relationship of over about 3 years. It was a vulnerable time for my daughter, and it was a vulnerable time for me to share. Our relationship for those 3 years was marked more by division than by peace. It was very, very difficult. We shared the heartache, the tears, the tension, the difficulty, the pain, extremely painful. There are a few things more troubling in life than pain and tension and division between a husband and a wife, or between a parent and a child, because it attacks the very fiber and fabric of the family. But whether it's marriage difficulty or family difficulty or job difficulty or physical challenges, whether it's one nation in conflict with another nation, people on every continent of every nation from every spoken language and from every tribe longing, waiting for peace, waiting for deliverance. And here is where we just really drill down into the main essence of what we're communicating during this message right now. Every religion in the world, every religion promises that if you follow its rules and its principles, in the end, it will bring you peace. Now, here's the last trivia question. Okay, there's 195 countries. How many languages? 6,500. Last question. How many religions are there in the world? How many religions? Now, let me give you a hint. It's between 195 and 6,500, okay? It's in between there. There's 4,200 religions in the world. Every religion promises peace and God's loving favor. And the route that you take is that you follow its rules and principles through your own self-improvement. And if you do this, you will inherit a better existence and eventually you'll experience peace. You need to change your life and begin following these religious principles and ideals. And whether we're talking about Hinduism or Islam or Buddhism or Judaism or any of the other religions of the world, self-improvement, bettering oneself, is the means to achieve peace, love, and hope. But when Zechariah is prophesying to his own Jewish people and to every nation on the earth, he says that the Creator God is sending a deliverer and a rescuer who will bring forgiveness and peace, but it doesn't come by self-improvement and changing your ways. It actually comes by the tender mercy of God. By his mercy, which means it's by grace, which means you can't follow a religious system or clean up your life or walk through these self-improvement steps in order to receive the peace that you long for. It comes by his mercy. It comes by which you receive his grace without anything that you can contribute. It's his mercy through the person, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the one who is going to deliver you. He's the one that's going to die on the cross on behalf of our sins, because there's nothing we can do except receive it by faith. The prophecy is about political peace, world peace, family peace, personal peace, but it can't come through a religion. It must come through a relationship with the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. He brings peace. We can't earn it or strive to accomplish it through self-improvement, through a religious system. And the role of Zechariah's son, John, would be to prepare the people for receiving Jesus, not by a religion, but by a relationship. But here's the thing that we need to be really aware of and cautious about. Christianity can be just another religion of the world, just another attempt to work at self-improvement or being accepted by God by changing your life and cleaning up your life or following the religious rules. And this can happen in any denomination. People trying to work towards a relationship with God in order to receive peace. That's called religion. And Christianity can be just another religion that people are trying to attain. It can happen in the Catholic Church. It can happen within any denomination of the Protestant Church. And it can happen at Grace Gathering. People following a religion over a relationship feel like, if I can just live up to those standards, if I can just follow those standards, in the end, I'll attain peace, or God will have mercy on me because I've done the right things. That's religion. It's a human attempt to have a relationship with God. Jesus says, I've done everything for you. You accept my grace by believing in me. It's not a religion. And then over time, I'll change you. But you can't clean up your life and follow religious rules, or even, you can't even follow the biblical principles and expect to receive a relationship. It doesn't work that way. That's religion. A year ago, I met a man whose wife and teenage kids attend the North Site. He didn't seem that interested himself spiritually, but I knew his family really had a burden for him to find God in his life. And we had a bunch of people at our house and a bunch of families, and he was there. And this was about a year ago, and I met him for the first time, and I knew that his wife and kids just had a really burden for him. And so as I met him for the first time, I decided I would pray for him every day, because at 10:03 every day, I pray for people of peace, people who need Jesus. Luke 10:3 says, go, I'm sending you, Jesus says. So every day at 10:03, I'm praying for people who are in my life, who are open to God and open to me, and praying. I didn't know if he would be open to me, but I met him, and so I just started praying every day. Over the course of the next 6 months, praying for him every day, I probably saw him two or three other times in social settings. He seemed really friendly to me. He seemed to engage with me. I thought, well, maybe he is open to me. Maybe he is open to God. Praying every day during those 6 months. And then in June, Grace McConachie had a graduation party, and I thought, this family's probably going to be there. And as I was praying for this man, his name is Kelly, I said to myself, okay, if he's here tonight, Lord, or if he's here today at this graduation party, I'm going to see how open he's been. I've been praying for him every day for 6 months. I'm going to see if he would be open to maybe going through a study on the gospel. So I attended the graduation party. I saw the family over there, and I said, okay, Lord, here's my chance. And so I went over, and I just started engaging in conversation. I said, hey, Kelly, I just was wondering if you'd be interested in maybe going through a Bible study on the gospel. And I had no idea if he'd say, no, no way or whatever. He said yes. And we started going through this. We invited a few others. I asked Scott Juster to do it with me. And We invited a few others, and through that study, God revealed himself that he had been pursuing a religion. It was a Christian religion. He'd been pursuing religion all his life, and now he understood it was about receiving his grace and a relationship. And he came to Christ. He was baptized a few weeks ago at the North Site. And here 2 weeks ago, he put together this video about his testimony. And I want you to note this journey of moving from religion to relationship. So let's watch this.
Hi, I'm Kelly Green, and today we're going to dive deeper into my baptism and my religious background. I grew up in the Catholic faith. I had parents that loved me. We spoke about Jesus so often in the home. Went to an elementary Catholic grade school. We went to church every day, grades 1 through 6. But it always seemed like it was a routine, or that it was something that was expected. Didn't really feel like it was a relationship with Jesus or God. And as I became older, as an adult, never really felt that connection. Growing up Catholic, my parents had good intentions for me. I went through a baby baptism, a dedication. I also was confirmed as a youth. And grew up and went to a spiritual-based college. So as a youth, I remember the approach and preparation for confirmation. I remember attending classes. I remember meeting with the priests. I remember speaking with nuns. And I remember the day of, as a child, committing myself to a life with Jesus Christ. I remember going home, having a party, and getting a BMX bike. As I got older, I remembered that as an adult, I just felt there was more to that day. So fast forwarding on to after marriage, Kath and I got married. We have 3 beautiful kids. We wanted them to have a relationship with God, but we were all over the board. I mean, we went through baby baptisms, we went through different churches, we shifted around a lot, and it never really seemed to solidify until our middle son, Cooper, started attending Grace Gathering. So we followed Cooper to Grace Gathering. First Cooper, then Kathy, then Caleb, then Courtney. And to be honest, it took me a long time to follow him myself. But I'm thankful for it because I was introduced to the Grace Gathering family. So after my introduction to Grace Gathering, I was at Paul and Ella's Grace's graduation party, and Chris Norman approached me and asked me to join a Bible study. I wouldn't be the first person that you would ever think that would ever say yes to joining a Bible study, but I felt in my heart that it was the right thing to do, and I find myself that I was excited when I told Chris, yeah, I would be interested in joining a Bible study with you. So we started the Seeking God Bible study. It was Chris Norman, Scott Jester, Karsten Lockmuller, Joe Freeman, and myself. And the group was awesome. Going through the book, it was really well written. I would recommend it to anybody who hasn't actually experienced that in joining a group of that caliber. But during it, we got into the 3 B's. We were talking about beauty, we were talking about brokenness, and we were talking about birth. And during that, I realized that my event of spiritual birth as a youth really was a memory of a BMX bike. And I knew there was so much more to that event, or what I wanted that event to be in my life, in my relationship with Jesus, that I knew that there was more that I needed to do. So almost exactly a year that I was over at the Norman's house, meeting Chris for the first time, going through a Bible study with him, realizing that my past was more about ritual and motions and not really a relationship with God, determining during Seeking God that there was more for me in my relationship with Jesus Christ. So on November 11th, 2018, I decided to be baptized. I asked my son Cooper to baptize me along with Scott Jester. That day was probably the most awesome day that I've ever had in my life, besides probably marrying my wife and having my children. But for my overall relationship and where I am with my faith, there couldn't have been a better day for me. So the reason that I wanted to be baptized was, like I said, I wanted it to be more memorable for me rather than just about a BMX bike. And the simple fact with my faith, when I think about baptism and what Jesus Christ, that he died for you, he died for me, that it's a very easy commitment for me to openly say that I love him, I accept him into my heart, and that I want to live a better life than what I'm living today with him in it and him a part of it. So even though it took me a year from the time that I met the Normans to the time that I decided that I needed to be baptized, never did I ever feel that Jesus had left me or forsaken me, for he is good and great and he is always around us.
So let's bow in prayer. We all long for peace. Everyone in the world is right now longing for peace. There's many religious options out there to choose. Even Christianity can be another religion where you're just trying to make changes in your life, trying to follow the religious rules. But Jesus offers a relationship that's vastly different from a religion. And the offer is for every single person in this room, it's for every person you know, and it's for every person in the whole world. And you receive this relationship, you receive his grace by believing, by having faith. Maybe today's the day you stop attempting to have a relationship with God by trying to clean your life up or trying to strive toward some human self-improvement. And today you just surrender. Maybe today's the day, like it was a few weeks ago or a month ago for Kelly, that today's the day you just surrender. I've been chasing religion. Now I want to receive Jesus. And today may be the day of your salvation. You can make that decision even right now in your seat by simply telling God, I want to surrender my heart to you and receive your grace and then have you begin changing me and have a relationship instead of having and pursuing a religion. Or maybe there's people in your life right now who are chasing religion and you want God to use you to help them understand relationship. Let me just pause for a few moments and just allow the Spirit to speak directly to you.